Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C, this is Agriculture Today.
This is the most cost-effective way to make sure that we keep our farmers and ranchers out there providing this incredible food supply that benefits every American every day. And one final point that Senator Bozeman referenced, we have the support already, the endorsement of virtually all of the major farm groups, the farm production groups in the country, representing our great farmers.
North Dakota Senator John Hoeven on his Farmer Act, which would increase premium support for revenue protection and yield protection policies.
And, their endorsement tells you very clearly, we need to have this enhancement to crop insurance in the Farm Bill to get the Farm Bill done.
This is Agriculture Today.
So what they gave us today as far as the U.S. balance sheet, and keep in mind for this old crop marketing year, which ends at the end of May here in the U.S., they added about 25 million bushels to their prior view of ending stocks. So as far as that goes, I think some of that was expected.
Rich Nelson is chief strategist for McHenry, Illinois-based Allendale. Looking at the latest WASD.
A lot of us are waiting for a little more information on the world balance sheet. And, you mentioned this transition from old to new crop. We only have one country which is doing any active harvesting right now at this time of year, and that's actually India. And for those numbers, there were no change. So it was a lightly disappointing report for wheat, but not a major market move here.
The WASD report stands for World Ag Supply Demand Estimates. What did USDA say about corn?
For this report, USDA has two things we're looking at. Number one is we did get that recent end of March estimate for what's left over for corn stocks as of March 1. And now those changes were reflected here today with a 25 million bushel increase for feed residuals. So they found smaller supplies on March 1 than expected. So that was a little positive. Also positive, they reflected the fact that this ethanol production is doing great. On top of that, ethanol production is this year especially is being hit with some efficiency setbacks. So we're actually having to use more corn to produce the same amount of ethanol in this year specifically. So those are positive numbers. They resulted in a 50 million bushel drop in terms of ending stocks. Trade was a little concerned, though. They expected a 70 million drop on this report. So lightly disappointing on the U.S. side here.
That's wheat and corn, but what about soybeans? Any surprises?
We do have two problems with the soybean side of the discussion. The U.S. balance sheet for soybeans for old crop stocks, it was raised by 25 million bushels on this report, and that was maybe a little more than some people expected. Keep in mind, we do expect some higher stocks in the future months as we progress through here. The second issue is not just the U.S. balance sheet. It's also the fact that they left that Brazilian crop number unchanged from last month. 155 million tons. Now, keep in mind, USDA is in some very, very small company with that number being so large. I've got to go back and, in fact, looking at my grouping of lists in the past 3 weeks as far as other estimates from the private group, there's only one name on that list which is anywhere close to that. So far, a disappointment on the U.S. balance sheet as well as USDA not recognizing another drop to that Brazilian crop.
But one of the most interesting debates so far, at least over the last year and a half, has been on cotton.
I found it interesting that they chose to stand aside for this old crop discussion. And old crop's been really interesting because we've got these stock numbers at 2.5 million bales the prior 2 years. Much larger at 4.25 or 4.05. So cotton's at this point where it's deciding, do I want to be a high-priced product or will we have this higher acreage planted, maybe as a surprise? We didn't have that much planted or shown to be planted on this recent report from USDA, but that's a question. We're always not quite sure what's planted until we get to June and then, in fact, August, and then October, then again in January. So for what we know of right now, cotton is not yet ready to fall back to a well-supplied story like the prior 2 years, but we'll have to watch this quite closely here.
Rich Nelson with Allendale. It's Agriculture Today.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
So no matter what economic data body of Congress wants to talk about over and over and over and over, all jobs are this, unemployment's this, this is what matters.
That's Arizona Representative David Schweikert. He continues to ring the warning bell on the nation's debt.
When you actually look at the data of those who are non-supervisory or supervisory, today they are poor, even when you put back in wage growth. Our brothers and sisters in America are poor today. And in my district, it's worse. And I have a prosperous district. You want to understand why people are struggling and angry and frustrated. Maybe an honest conversation that we made them poor. So here's a bit of an intellectual tease. What's the biggest tax hike in modern history? Come on, what's the biggest tax hike in modern history? Let's work through this. If I came to you right now and said, the $1,000, the $100, the dollar you've saved up, and over the next three and a half years, we're gonna basically take away almost a quarter of its value. We made you poor, right? That's called inflation. But where did that value go? It went to the debtors. Who's the biggest debtor in the world? United States. We functionally transferred your wealth through inflation and devalued the debt. The problem is now we hit the interest rate cycle. So we were devaluing the debt by inflation, and now the financing of our debt explodes, as well as the fact, and this is one that's a little trickier to talk about, Social Security, Medicare, these other things have kickers for inflation in there. So you get a short-term benefit. So you saw a little spike about a year and a half ago when debt to GDP, even though the debt was higher, but the GDP had sort of grown, but it's because the differential because of inflation. Now all that benefit's gone, and now it's getting really ugly because the financing of the debt, I just showed you, if you do the gross number, is on its way to $1.2 trillion just this year. Interest now is the second biggest expense in our government. And in a little while, you got to understand, back to my fixation of, we need to find some way to add technology, disruption, cures to disrupt the cost of healthcare. Because guess what, Mr. Speaker? In a few years, actually, Medicare even passes Social Security in total spending. So the hierarchy is used to always be Social Security is number one, defense is number two, Medicare is number three, and interest was actually way down here. Now, interest is number two, but Social Security is number one. In just a few years, the healthcare costs will be the number one expense in this country. Just Medicare. This isn't adding in Indian Health Services, the VA, Medicaid. Now look, much of it's demographics. This is where maybe there's a problem, is we're so busy attacking the left is so busy attacking us. The fact of the matter is, people getting older, moving into their earned benefits, is that Republican or Democrat? It's demographics. We know it's going to happen. We've known there was, 67 million baby boomers. For how long? 65 years. And we did brilliant planning for it, didn't we? But understanding charts like this, it's coming, it's in front of us, and we will do everything we can to ignore it.
It's Agriculture Today.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
What they did, Tony, with this recent disaster relief program called ERP, is they put a provision, it's really a question in their application for these monies, that said, are you a socially disadvantaged farmer or rancher?
Chairman of the House Budget Committee and a representative from West Texas, Jody Arrington.
And the words were, do you identify as a socially disadvantaged farmer? What they meant was, do you identify as a female or as a minority group? Well, listen, if a female's been impacted by the disaster, she ought to be compensated accordingly and fairly, as should somebody as a member of a minority group. But as they implemented it, the Biden USDA was given 75% more generous payments to people just because of their biological sex or the color of their skin. Buddy, that's discrimination That goes against the Civil Rights Act, not to mention the Constitution's Equal Protection Clause. And it's just plain wrong and un-American. And I was very upset about it. And I guarantee you, your listeners and the producers in West Texas, they didn't take kind to that. So we're trying to get them to reverse that. The courts will reverse it if they don't, but we're trying to pressure them to go back to the way we've done these ERP programs before and quit using identity politics to weaponize the government and pit groups against each other. We are one people with one set of ideals as Americans, and we're one agriculture, and we ought to be compensating these folks based on the damage, not based on characteristics that would be otherwise illegal and discriminatory.
A group of West Texas farmers have filed suit against USDA, but we still have no new farm bill. Roger Marshall is a senator from Kansas.
I want to say thank you to the ranking member on the Senate Ag Committee, Senator Bozeman, and especially I'm proud to be here with the senator from the great state of North Dakota, Senator Hovind, and support our Farmer Act. You know, crop insurance is the backbone of every farm bill. When I talk to producers back home, they tell me crop insurance is their first, second, and third priority. It's important not just producers, but it also helps stabilize groceries on the other end by having a good constant supply, by allowing the farmer to plant next year's crop after Mother Nature strikes, helps keep those prices down at the grocery store as well. You know, I'm often asked why crop insurance is so important. And I want to quote the late President John F. Kennedy when he summed up the plight of the farmer pretty well. This is what President Kennedy said. The farmer is the only person in our economy who buys everything at retail, sells everything at wholesale, and pays the freight both ways. Look, our input costs are driving the value of our crops up, and thus the cost of crop insurance is going up along with it. And unfortunately, commodity prices don't reflect that. Instead, we're seeing all-time drop in farming income, year-over-year drop that we've seen in a decade. But the Farmer Act truly puts the farm back in the farm bill with a reasonable cost, helps take on this added burden of crop insurance, which again allows the farmer to plant next year's crop and makes this the most single important program at USDA. So I'm proud to be here today urging that this body passes the Farmer Act, perhaps included on the Farm Bill would be a good place for it as well, and to protect the economic security in rural America and keep food prices stable for American consumers.
It's Agriculture Today.
This is Agriculture Today.
World wheat production, basically pretty small changes here, as you can see, mainly truing up to government data.
Dr. Mark Jekinowski, chairman of USDA's World Ag Outlook Board, on the latest World Ag Supply Demand Estimates Report.
Maybe the one point to make note of here is Northwest Africa, that is a reduction in Tunisia, where, again, based on government data, but that crop was cut by nearly half, just drought conditions much worse than we had expected. That one does stand out. Global balance sheet. Few things worth talking about here, worth noting. We talked about production up a little bit. Feed use down overall globally. Feed use in Russia is down, reduced at 1 million. Tons. Exports out of Russia also up, strong exports out of Russia. EU feed use up 1 million tons, so some offsets there. Total use up a bit. That's driven mainly by India, where they've just been consuming out of stocks for food use in particular. So India stocks actually down 2.1 million tons. Trade up 1.3 million tons. Exports from both Russia and Ukraine up, partially offset by lower exports out of the EU, which were reduced by 2 million tons. Ukraine exports continue, wheat exports continue strong. We raised Ukraine's exports this month by 1.5 million tons to 17.5 million. Global stocks tightening up just a bit again this month, and still, if realized, these would be the lowest global ending stocks since 2015-16. Argentina, production down 1 million tons this month, mainly reflecting early harvest results. About 10% of that crop is harvested so far. EU, again, truing up to official data there. Basically, what we're seeing is lower production out of Romania, Bulgaria, and higher in Poland, Spain, and Hungary. Also, higher in Serbia, noted there as well. Similar crop conditions in Serbia as to those countries in EU where production has been higher as well. FSU down. You notice we didn't change Ukraine or Russia, so that reduction is all in Moldova.
Moving from wheat to soybeans, Jackanowski explains.
Soybean balance sheet global. Beginning stocks, basically various balance sheet revisions from past years, truing up some supply and use data, especially for Canada, EU, Iran, and Russia. And not much to say about crush or ending stocks. Trade down a bit this month. That is mainly lower exports out of the U.S. and South Africa. Again, smaller crop. Partially offset by higher exports out of Paraguay.
Finally, for cotton?
Cotton, very few changes globally this month. So hardly any changes for the current crop year for cotton. They add up over many small countries. They add up to a total of 33,000 bale increase in supply for this year.
It's Agriculture Today.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Now, Taiwan actually has built a policy on how to help combat it. They get attacked on social media with fake stuff. They have teams that turn around and say, okay, here's what they said. Here's the documents. Look it up yourself. I don't think we're ready for this.
Arizona Representative David Schweikert talking about a report that came out Friday from Microsoft identifying tactics of Chinese-linked campaigns to launder false information through social media.
How do you and I and our brothers and sisters on the left and anyone that actually cares about this country, how do you have honest debates, honest discussions about the in my case, I'm fearful of the crushing debt. We're going to walk through that. But other policy things, when you actually lay out facts, you lay out the information of what's going on, and 90 seconds later, there's a bot that basically is putting out absolute crap. How do you hold a society together? Well, you can't even agree on the baseline facts to build the debate from when article after article, and some of these are huge. I brought these are the executive summaries. I mean, some of the ones we've gone through are hundreds of pages of tracking entire troll farms. There's one document here saying that China may be spending multiple billions of dollars in influence operations here in this country to basically distort reality. And the point I'm going at right now, this seems like a weird place to go for a guy that wants to talk about the numbers of what's happening in our government. I'm incredibly frustrated because I do not know how we have an honest debate when we have a disinformation wave coming at us from functionally governments, let alone the private troll farms that do it just for clickbait to make money. But how do you have an honest debate when our brothers and sisters, our constituents at home, our activists see things that are absolutely not true? We're going to have to find out some way for us to have a commonality of these are the facts. Or how do I make, I hate to say this, how do I make the public absolutely cynical? Don't believe me. Don't believe the crap on your, the crap on your phone. Look up yourself. Find things you trust and confirm it. Because we have articles after articles here documenting the troll farms, documenting the new bot farms, documenting the use of new AI. And this one is actually sort of scary. because it's going to be industrialized. You think things are screwy right now? Wait a couple more months when we're in the middle of the election season, and this government here has already decided they're going to, look what Russia's done to Ukraine, what people believe about Ukraine. Look what the Palestinians and their teammates in Iran, and oddly enough, coming through China, are doing to Israel. We're going to have to grow up and deal with the reality of it is much of the information that's coming smashing into this country isn't real. And we're going to have to become much more discerning on it.
According to the reports, many of the disinformation narratives were actually focused on the U.S., accusing Washington of building biological labs in Taiwan and stoking the fire for the war between Israel and Palestine. It's Agriculture Today.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Mexico has been suffering a pretty severe drought across most of the country.
Mark Jackanowski is chairman of USDA's World Ag Outlook Board.
So this is drought conditions as of the end of October. Looking at, again, this is the area where we're interested in with regard to Sinaloa, that winter crop production. So that's end of October. This is really the critical time for that crop development. Things only got worse. Important to note as well that most of this crop produced in that area is irrigated. So with these drought conditions, lack of rain, reservoirs are low, and they just don't have the water to irrigate as they would need to get good yields. So reservoir conditions in most of these areas where we're focused in on are, at 15% capacity or less. And you can also see it from satellite data. This is one of the major reservoirs that feeds this area. So 2013, the size of the reservoir compared to this year severely diminished. So reducing that water availability for irrigation. Now, I'll note that we had some FAS staff who did a crop tour to this part of the country just a few weeks ago. It's a dangerous part of the world. They had to go with high security. Oops, sorry. They had to go with pretty high security while they were traveling out in the country. But there you got our Justin Jenkins, our FAS crop analyst, looking at the crops out there in Mexico, some other FAS analysts out there. And then, of course, this guy on the roof with the artillery, that's Bob Tetro. anyway, I think that they had a good trip and an important trip, but truly in an area, in a world that where risks are high. So now let's talk a little bit about South Africa. Oh, let me also just note, because it is important, and this will come up again later, most of that corn in Mexico, as you might know, it's 90% white. So food use. Now, South Africa, kind of some interesting developments here too. We're going to talk a little bit here about corn, soybeans, and sunflower seed, main crops in South Africa. Now, kind of the interesting weather developments that we saw in South Africa over the past several months is that, again, despite El Nino, rains were really good early in the season, surprisingly good. And that did a few things. I think it encouraged farmers to plant soybeans instead of switching to sunflower seeds, which tend to be a little bit more drought tolerant, and it certainly built up expectations of a good crop, good production for all of these crops, including corn this year. But as you can see, toward the end of January and then into February, those rains just shut off. Extremely dry from the middle of February on, and it also has been hot. So conditions really cratered, just during the critical time of crop development, and we can see it in the vegetative health index. Just for comparison, and I'll note it here as well. 2015-16 was the last fairly serious El Nino, so that's why that one is up there for comparison. And then similarly with the vegetative health index, we have this year on the left and 2016 on the right. You can see the conditions generally, especially in the West, they're worse this year. But it's noteworthy that most of the white corn production in South Africa occurs in the West western regions.
It's Agriculture Today.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Here's the basic simple rule.
Sounding the alarm on the nation's debt, Arizona Representative David Schweikert.
GDP, the size of the economy, in 2023 grew $1.5 trillion. Yay! But you do understand, for that growth, you only get 17, 18, maybe even 19% of that in tax receipts. So in the growth, that's wonderful, but it's not dollar for dollar. And so I will get people and say, well, okay, you guys borrowed $2.5 trillion, but the economy grew 1.5. Yes, it did grow 1.5, but I only get 18, 19% of that in tax receipts. Do you understand the scale of growth you'd have for the tax receipts to come close to the borrowing? But that would require elementary school math, wouldn't it?